Whew, don't even get me started, man. This one's really personal for me because, you know, I'm here in Europe, right? 2021. Flip those last two numbers around, 2 and 1. Rewind it back to 2012. I'm in Italy. Bobbio Pollice. It's not Rome. It's not one of the major cities. It's a valley in northwest Italy. Not a lot of people go there. Not a lot of people, Americans or tourists, go there. The locals know about it. Bobbio Pollice. It was 7 guy athletes, 7 girl athletes from all over the world. And I'll tell this story in a later episode, dedicating a whole episode to it. I just want to touch on it briefly here that, you know, it was me and another American guy. Yo, I didn't know him before. He's from Nevada. Shout out Ryan. What's good, man? And I had a roommate from Macedonia. I remember the first few days being super homesick. I Skyped my dad. You know, I was like, I couldn't sleep. But my roommate was actually from Macedonia in Europe. And he listened to the same music I listened to, Lecrae. And anyways, we do all these training exercises. There's people there from Romania, Italy, Germany, all over Australia, all over the world. And we have to come together as a cohesive team unit. How in the world can you literally do that as a cohesive team unit for 3 weeks of training and branch off and do sports camps to hopefully share the love of Christ and to share the gospel in areas that need it, and especially rougher areas where, you know, they don't have much. So we're doing these training exercises, right? And we had a team leader there from Germany. Shout out to David. And David was very strict, right? But he was also like, he had this loving nature about him, but he was very to the point. Very SVG, Stan Van Gundy-like, right? He's going to tell you how it is, and he was going to make you work. And we did all these crazy training exercises where it seemed insurmountable at the time. Like, there was one time where we had this Italian meal, the Italian food. When you have it fresh from the market, ooh, that stuff's good. So we had, as a team, a meal together, breaking bread together. And right after, he's like, all right, guys, now I want you to run 2 hours straight around this parking lot. Now, granted, it's a hot day. Like, it is not... It's not a very typical climate conditions to go on a run, but we ran for 2 hours straight, going hard. We came together, all huddled up, cheered. I remember David brought me aside afterwards, and he said, Charlie, you really pushed yourself there. You know, you realize you ran 13 miles. You ran a half marathon. And me, playing ball, right, playing lacrosse in college, you know, even wrestling, doing sprints and track, yo, long distance is not my thing. I hate running, straight up. And the fact that I ran a half marathon without even knowing that I could do that within my limits, within this body that I wasn't even trained to run a half marathon, that inspired me. The next year, I ran a full marathon, 26.2 miles, raising money for orphans in Thailand and India through the church I was going to at the time. And I barely trained for that. I should have trained harder for that. But the point is that you can do anything you set your mind to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even when it seems insurmountable, even when I think I can't do it, I can with Christ helping me. And this, like, literally this truth had to surface in my life during this week when I was asked 2 days before the camp started to be the head choreographer or dance coach for this sports camp in Bobbio Pollice, Italy, or near there. And I'm like, yo, they took the fun fact I gave at the beginning of the camp, at the beginning of the trip, like saying I did, you know, 1 or 2 hip-hop choreographed dances for fun in college, and said, all right, you're going to be the head dance coach, because there wasn't a cheerleader or a dance intern at the time, and they asked me to step it up and do it. So I got together with another athlete, and went on my laptop, tried to pick some dance moves, songs I thought could resonate well, had 3 different dances for beginner, intermediate, and advanced. At the end of it all, through a week of jet lag, a week of tiredness, the Lord infiltrated His Holy Spirit into me, and give me the words to say through a translator there with an Italian translator, and the kids performed their choreographed dances. I don't know if they're good in that. I tried to make them good, and they performed in front of their parents at the end of the week. That to me showed me that with faith, with God, anything is possible. And He gave me that. He gave me that insurmountable. That was a faith building journey for me, which I thought was insurmountable. God made possible that week. And they wanted to utilize all my skills. They knew I was working a mascot with a Piston. So I was a mascot one of the days too, running around with another guy. And I was going all out. And what that showed me is I have to go full force for Jesus using all the talents He's given me. Okay. And so you're going to learn a lot more about this experience later. The main point of this is that one of the training exercises we did in the Alps Mountain was rescue an injured teammate in Italy. And this injured teammate, we had to bring him back down. And after we brought him back down, it was like a team building exercise, which, by the way, we were woken up in random parts in early mornings to run by the river, run up the mountains. It was ridiculous, but at the end of it all, it was character building. So, Germans, man, this German guy. And then, so we get back from this injured teammate exercise up the Alps Mountains, come back, and David's like, all right, guys, he's got all these bowls lined up with the other leaders there. And what are these bowls for? They're filled with water. We have to get down on our knees and we wash each other's feet. Now imagine the stinkiness of everyone's feet running up and down the Alps Mountain, rescuing an injured teammate. Coming down and washing the feet. Woo, that place stank, man. Talk about 14 plus athletes in there washing their feet. I remember my feet getting washed. I remember washing other people's feet that day. And I knew from that moment on, whenever I would get married one day, I would want to wash my future bride's feet, knowing that that's the only way that the marriage would work. Yo, I've seen so many bad examples, even in my own family. My family's super loving. My parents are super loving. They just got divorced, man. And I saw how when a stepdad entered the picture, not even a year after my parents got divorced, how emotionally and verbally abusive he was to my mother and to me, to my siblings. So I wasn't given like a perfect picture example of what marriage is like, just as many of you weren't at home. There's so many broken marriages out there, even in the church. Let's keep it authentic. I mean, I hear these stats that 50% of divorces happen in the church, and that's the same as outside the church. So facts, divorce is common. But I said that word, but Amber and I never used that word. That's not in our vocabulary. So I'm going to edit that out. I'm going to bleep that out. The D word. That is not in our vocabulary. Because it's in too many people's vocabularies that when things get tough, it was a tough day for Amber and I. You know, we got into a little bit of a conflict. I ain't going to lie with you. But we realized that the enemy was trying to separate what's good. The enemy was trying to pit us together when we're a team and we're supposed to be fighting together. And as a leader, I had to come from the bedroom out to the couch with my bride there sitting down. And she was sad. I'm sad. I grabbed a hold of her and I hugged her. I know she likes them hug squeezes, man. I don't like the rubs, man. So, you know, we got each other. We know each other, like what each other's like love tanks are. So I hugged her. And as the leader, I had to serve her and vice versa. It has to be a mutual serving that's only possible through Jesus Christ. And that picture of a water basin, and that's what I did with my bride on November 11, 2017 in Long Beach, California, the Long Beach Museum of Art. We got a gold basin. Went down to each other's hands and knees. Wash each other's feet. Took off my Detroit Lions socks. Shout out to Detroit. I had Lions socks on. You know, my beautiful bride's feet. I love her feet. I think I got a fetish for my wife's feet. I think I got a thing for my wife's feet, y'all. Woo! My wife's feet are popping. They spicy. They juicy. I like kissing them. All right. I'm authentic. So I'm married. And so as a married man, I've been waiting to say these things. So I'm grateful for that. So on our wedding night, got down, washed each other's feet as an example of how we can go about our marriage moving forward, because we haven't had good examples in this world, even in our generation and previous generations, right? The previous generation supposed to set the tone. They didn't set the tone. So it's time for Amber and I to set the tone in our generation, for our family, to break generational curses. And it starts with me. It starts with Amber. And it starts with us. And the only way we know how to do that is not by dominating each other. It's by serving each other. It talks a lot about wives submit to your husbands in the Bible. It doesn't talk a lot about husbands. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Do you realize that when Christ loved the church, he died for the church? He's the King of Kings. He didn't need to do that. He's literally God. Jesus is God. He didn't need to die for us, but he did because he loves us that much. If we look to him as the example of how to love each other, we wouldn't be caught up in our own feelings every day. That's why divorces happen. That's why marriages fail. Because, oh, you didn't make me happy. You didn't make me happy. Oh my gosh, you didn't make me happy. Okay, so I'm leaving. And now there's serious, real problems. There's abuse, right? Emotional, verbal, physical. And there's affairs. And there's unfaithfulness. And that is a whole different topic for another conversation for another day. What I'm talking about is the normal, everyday conflicts and everyday things that are most of the time little, right? Let's keep it authentically, right? Let's keep it real. And a lot of that, don't even get me started. A lot of that is... It's just so minuscule, but we exponentiate it like it's this big snowball when it's really a little icicle that can just drop and crash and it's gone. You realize that icicles, I'm from Michigan, icicles, they just stay there. You know, they look annoying, like, or sometimes they look great, conflict or fights, the grass might look greener on the other side, but those conflicts that are just dangling in front of you, the icicles can mean two things, right? They can mean temptation. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side. You know, there's all these icicles. There's all these cool things ahead if I'm just looking for what's next. Well, guess what? The grass isn't greener on the other side ever. You're going to go through the same thing with somebody else just in a whole another season with more brokenness and more mess. And if you got kids involved too, you're bringing them in. I know because I'm the oldest from a divorced family. And I'm scarred. I'm broken. I'm beaten from that divorce because my parents, I love them. I still pray for them to get back together. That's authentic. I'm keeping it real because we had a loving home and it was a rug swept underneath me and everything fell apart. But I thank God for my parents that they showed me what Christ's love is, that they were still cordial with each other to put aside their differences from my siblings and I. So the point being that one, the icicle will drop. It will melt eventually. And it's not going to be that all that looked to be. Icicle can mean a second thing, right? It can be conflicts in your marriage that are just sitting there and like, oh, it's not going away. Oh, it's frozen. It's going to stay like this forever. Oh, my gosh. Guess what? The sun comes up tomorrow. The icicle melts away. Your problems fade, right? Now, there's some real like frozen tundra type problems that I might have to simmer. Get them heaters out. You can buy it at Walmart. So when I say get your heaters, you can buy a Bible at Walmart. You can actually get it for free. Open up your phone, go to your app. Open up your phone, go to the Bible app. Let me show you in case y'all don't know. The Bible app, you can go to the Bible app, open it, boom, there you go. You've got your heater to melt the icicles away. And those icicles, boom, gone in an instant. So I don't know what God put icicles in my heart. Hopefully that encourages somebody out there, maybe in Alaska, maybe in Michigan, maybe in Texas or California or the Philippines, wherever y'all at. Shout out to Philippines. What's up? Half Filipino. You know what's up. Half Filipino. What's good? I'm proud to be Filipino. Yeah, I'm dark skinned. People in Europe be asking Amber and I. There was one person that was like, ting, ting, tong, tong. You know, when we were walking away. You think that's funny? Stop Asian hate. That's a real thing, man. That hurt us for 10 minutes. We're like, we don't say ting, ting, tong, chong. We're not like Chinese. We're not the stereotypical what they portray in the media. People are like, oh, you Asian, you Chinese, you Japanese, yeah. No, man. Like, I'm half Filipino, half white, and I'm proud of both sides, and I embrace it. My wife is full Filipina. She embraces it. That's my Filipina queen, Amber J, man. Come on, y'all. So the point being is that the icicles melt, and they fade. And I'm a tangent person. I know my wife says I go on tangents a lot, but I believe you learn in the tangents. That's my wife, Amber J, y'all. Oh, yeah. Can I get it? Yeah, that's my baby. So whenever my mind goes crazy, I keep her on my phone. I keep her pictures on the table when I'm working to remind why I do what I do for God and Amber J. So the point being that as a leader, I can't serve from a place of selfishness, because if I do that, I'll be caught up in my own feelings, like that Drake song, man, caught up in my feelings, and, you know, that's never good. I realize that, you know, I need to discuss my feelings, and I feel like Amber and I, we got this example in one of our marriage classes, because we believe in coaching, you know, talking about coaching, the importance of coaching in your life, whether that be a life coach, a business coach, if you're married, a marriage coach, in the form of a counselor or mentors that can encourage you and speak the truth and love and what you guys are going through. And for Amber and I, you know, we decided to get counseling early on and go to marriage classes early on to, it doesn't have to be in shambles. Actually, it's wise, in my opinion, to get counseling and coaches while everything's good. So when you're winning, right? Like when Kerr was winning all those dynasties, everything was good, right? But now it's, you know, the team's not doing so well. You need to have that good foundation. So when times get tough, you're staying grounded. You know, Curry and Draymond and boys, they staying grounded. They're hungry for another title. Trust me on that one. And so Amber and I, we're trying to win championships every single day, and it's tough. There's going to be obstacles, especially out here doing mission work in Europe. There's already been so many obstacles. We were at the airport 5 days in a row at LAX, and finally we were able to get on that flight the fifth day, thank God, because it was a bunch. We had to get a different type of testing. You know, we had to get an official document from the nonprofit we're serving with. So even when we got here, you know, the jet lag for a week, trying to get adjusted to the European time, to, you know, the enemy trying to pit us against each other with little bit of conflicts here and there, telling little lies in our mind to paralyze our days. Y'all, there's days where I feel paralyzed, you know, not even here in Europe, but back in Michigan, back in Arizona, back in California, where, there'd be hours on end where a lie would come into my mind. I would be like, man, I'm so terrible. Why'd I listen to this? Why this image or this thought come into my mind? And my day would be ruined. And I've had to learn to fight back. I have to fight back with God's word. My wife encourages me, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So even when I'm down, I have to be lifted up with the Lord's strength every day. So wherever you're at in life, whether that be a friendship, right, as a nephew, a grandson, a husband, or, you know, a brother, a coworker, right, a friend, a brother, just know that at the end of the day, if we look to Jesus as the example of how to love each other, how to be in a relationship with somebody else, that means that we're not thinking about ourselves or our own feelings or our own emotions, getting caught up in our own feelings. When we do that, we have these blinders on, like those horses that have those blinders, and all we can see is our feelings. Take them blinders off. There is somebody next to you, whether that be your spouse, your friend who's hurting. Put yourself in their shoes. See what they're going through. Because once we take that focus off ourselves, that brings joy. That brings selflessness. That brings motivation to be there for them, to take care of them. But guess what? It can't be that one-way street. Because that other person, whether that be your spouse or brother or coworker or friend or grandpa or uncle or aunt that you're, or mother that you're in this relationship with, you want to have a good relationship, they also have to do the same thing. Right? If you're the only person doing it, it's going to be a one-sided relationship. But what Amber and I want to do in our marriage, talking about marriage now, is we both want to have that mindset. What if we both had that mindset of like, oh, this is how you're feeling? Man, that is awful. Like, let me look to that. Because there's so many times where I get it caught up in my own feelings. You made me feel this way. I feel this way. I'm hurt. Let's talk about it. There's times, I thank God for my wife, because there's times where I have to talk about things 5 times in a row to be okay. Now, going back to the marriage, I want to share this with you guys, too, because I brought this up for a reason. Marriage coach. We had a marriage class, and in this marriage class, it was at Hillsong in Phoenix. They talked about the importance of a rhino and a hedgehog. Think about those two animals, a rhino charging, let's go, like, let's just tackle the day. Like, I want to, you know, a rhino is big, fierce, and wants to, you know, get on with his day, get on with his life. And so he's going to charge at conflict head on. He wants to resolve things quickly. If he or she is not okay, then their day will be ruined and they need to talk about things right now, not later. The hedgehog wants to curl up in a ball, and if it's touched, boom, boom, spikes flare out. It wants to sit in its bedroom, in its bathroom, in its safe place, and just stay there and wait and not talk about it. Sweep it under the rug, conflict under the rug. And realizing going into marriage, our family dynamics are similar in a way, but they're also completely different. Amber and I's personalities are so similar in a way. Took my lovely bride first when I first took her to Michigan and introduced her to my family. My mom, who's very protective, you know, I'm a mama's boy, admittedly, she said that Amber is a girl version of me. And that takes a lot from my mom, Tammy, to say that. I'll tell you that right now. She's super protective. Amber and I are so same. Thank God for that. We're so same. We love so many different things of the same passion. Obviously, our faith in Christ is what bonds us, keeps us together. That's what keeps us together all day, every day, through the ups and downs of life. And then you've got our passion for family. You've got our love for being fun, adventurous, trying new foods, and just being spontaneous. And like, let's just go to Europe because that's where God's calling us. I love that I have a wife who has just this desire to do excellent every day. And to be herself. And that's something that she has. And me, I'm the sentimental one. So the point is that as much as we're the same, we're also completely different. Because of like that drive, she's the Michael Jordan of women, literally, because she took the Enneagram, and that's one of the famous people, that's one of the notable figures on her personality, is Michael Jordan. And you know, me as like a, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. or something, or like, you know, just trying to, or me as like, you know, a peacekeeper, trying to keep the peace and wanting everybody and wanting to you know, build bridges and being a sentimental man that I am. And so we have differences, and a lot of that stems from our family dynamics when it comes to conflict. Her family wanted to sweep things under the rug, not talk about it, you know. Sweep it under the rug, you know, we'll push through it. That's the hedgehog. The rhino, woo, my family, we were emotional, right? We wanted to go head on, let's talk through it. It's interesting because just briefly, like when I talked to my siblings about it, they told me that they're both actually hedgehogs, my brother and sister. They're in the same house as me. So it's interesting how even family dynamics can be different for every sibling, everybody. For me, in that family of that emotional Like, let's talk through it. I message family. Like, I feel this way because of what you did here, family. There was strength in that. But also, being a rhino, I need to learn that there's a time and a place to have a conversation, especially if you're not in the right mindset or if you're hungry, right? Here in where we're at, there's a pastor, Ezekiel, and his wife, and they say, yeah, if you're hungry, it's not good. So anyways, yeah, if you're hungry, there's a lot of factors going on. If you're tired, if you're not feeling well, if the Lions just lost, in my case, that's not a good time to talk about a little conflict or a serious conflict. So Amber and I, we had to learn that the hard way at times, quite frankly, because we would get annoyed. Like, why do you want to talk about it right now, Charlie? Or I'm like, why don't you want to talk about it, Amber? Like, I need to talk about it. I'm not going to be okay. I can't go to work. I need to talk about it. I need to talk through it. I can't be okay until we talk about it. That's the rhino. I'm charging in. And Amber the Hedgehog, no, I need space. I need time. What we learned that has helped us is that there's strengths in both, right? There's strengths in being the hedgehog because you can't talk about it when you're not in the right state of mind. So saving that conversation for the right time is essential. But on the other, and being strong, having a good day no matter what, whether you talk about it or not. And for me, on the other hand, you know, the rhino, it's good. My strength is that we're going to have the conversation eventually. It needs to happen. Let's be honest and talk through our feelings instead of simmering up into a ball, letting it explode later. You see what I'm saying? So with all that to be said, it's good to have coaching. It's amazing to serve, to be coached, and that's how you thrive. Jesus thrived by serving others. Amber and I can only thrive and protect our marriage and make our marriage grow and thrive and blossom like the marriage we want to have and the generational curses we want to break and the strong marriage we want to have, even the world of bad examples, even in our own inner circle and family, even in the church. The only way that we can truly have an amazing, successful, incredible marriage and make it thrive is with Jesus at the center. Looking to him, right? I'm sure you've heard of this triangle before if you've been in church spaces. If not, think about a triangle. Here's me, here's Amber, here's Jesus. We're both running to God at the same time. Woo! We're growing closer and closer together. But if we don't have that, we're gonna be separated. Whether that be mentally, emotionally, we need Jesus to keep us grounded. Amen. Because Christ is the solid rock we stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. All that other ground, whoo, that could be peers. That could be songs you'd be listening to. That could be movies you're watching. That could be outside influences, people at work. All other ground is sinking sand. We want to stand firmly on Christ because we have to be rooted in something. What are you rooted in today? What are you grounded in? What are you placing your foundation on today to make your house stand? In your marriage, to make your marriage work? In your family life, in your personal and your professional life? What are you grounded on? What are you grounded on today? I would encourage you to be grounded in Christ and to take up the notion of serving, because true leadership comes from this place. How can I serve you today? And having that person also say, how can I serve you today? Instead of, you need to do this, you need to do that, huh? Barking orders, leadership, that's not leadership. That's fakeness. That's falsehood, man. Woo. I was in a toxic work situation where that was the driving force behind leading. That's not cool. That's not a good way to lead. That's insecurities up the wazoo. Be secure in yourself in Christ and serve. In my case, serve my bride. How can I serve you today, Amber? How can I be there with you? And I'm something I'm working on every day. That passion was ignited me in 2012, flip around to 2021, where Amber and I now are serving our mission work together. Ooh, 2012 to 2021, are you kidding me? That summer transformed my life. Now I'm trying to have my life transform. Amber and I's marriage transformed with God at the center in 2021. Switch those numbers around, and Amber and I, we're trying to thrive in Christ. And we're working on it every day. It's not perfect. I even said today was tough, but we got through it. That's the key. We got through it. It's not always going to be perfect, but you can get through it with Christ at the center. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Christ is the example. There's other bad examples, and we trample and ramble, and it's so tough. But keep on going, young man. You got this. I'm telling you, you got this. If nobody else tells you this, let me tell you this. You got this, man. There's too many people saying you can't do this, but you can do this in Jesus' name. So keep on going. Keep running. Keep staying the course. And serve. And lead by serving. That can break curses. That can break generational curses. That can build foundations. That can change lives. That can build bridges when it comes to racial tensions. That can help spark racial reconciliation. If you're not looking to your preconceived notions and stereotypes and prejudices that you have, maybe towards me right now listening, who's this Asian dude? What does he have to say? Listen to me as a man, how about, huh? And I will do my best to listen to you, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander, from Antarctica. Come on, let's have a conversation. Seriously, you want to be on this podcast, this have a conversation with me? I'm open to it. I'm open to the dialogue because I'm just trying to keep it authentically. Philippians 2:5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example of how to lead. The king of this universe came to earth in human form, washed his disciples' feet. Think about that. Think about how stinky them feet were in a cultural sandal-wearing era. Yo, that's true servanthood, true leadership. Coming to you with open arms, serving. Talk about experience. Man, the God of this universe died for you and me, even as broken, messed up people. That's love. Man, that's true love. That's who I want to be serving day in and day out. And if we all just look to Jesus as an example of how to lead, how to have strong marriages, how to be good friends, how to be good bosses, how to be good employees, good sons, good nephews, good parents, good grandsons, take the example of how Christ served us. Apply it to your life today and just see what happens. No matter where your faith walk is at this point in your life, just start there with Christ as the example and just see what happens. You'll start to see the mindset shifted off your selfishness and experience joy because it won't be about you, but about your spouse. But about your spouse. It won't be about you, but about your friend, your family member, your loved one, your neighbor. Once we get out of getting caught up in our own feelings, once we get out of getting caught up in our own feelings and look to others over ourselves, while of course taking care of ourselves too, this world can be transformed one relationship at a time. Come into it with this mindset. Taking a knee. Because there's too many people going at it from what they think is a form of leadership, looking down. But if we do it from the serving mindset, looking up, taking a knee, the world can change. I believe that. Thank you for listening. Philippians 2:5. Have this mindset all day, every day. Have serving leadership. Let go. Let God. Let's go. Let's go! Come on. Drop the mic, but I still got it.